This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, Xiao Yik. This is Because Feelings Matter, where we hear the personal stories of people's mental health issues and challenges. Through their stories, we hope to normalize conversations about mental health and to hear how people found support for their struggles. When you think back on your childhood, there are probably a few strong memories that have stayed with you. Having fun with friends, stressing over exams, or agonizing over your crush. Well, for me, growing up was a mess of awkwardness and trying to fit in, and that's never really gone away. For others, being exposed to some form of violence would have had a lasting impact.
Hey, my name is Gabs. I'm 13 years old. I'm in year 9, and I believe that everyone should have a chance to share their story. I want to share the story of how I got bullied and people spread rumors about me in school back then, and how I managed to overcome it and assimilate with my friends and into my school.
Bullying is not often recognized as violence against children, but rather accepted as an inevitable part of growing up. Aiyah, we all went through it. No big deal lah. It builds character. But bullying is not formative. It is not benign. No matter what form it takes, bullying compromises children's health, emotional well-being, and their performance in school. They will have long-lasting consequences that continue on into adulthood.
When I went to my school in first grade, there were only two girls in the class. One of them ended up being my friend. But then another one ended up bullying me because she was jealous of my grades, because she was not doing very well. And she was very spiteful about that. So she was rather mean. She always tried to frame me in front of teachers. She tried to spread rumors about me. She pushed and shoved me. Once she pushed me against a wall.
Can you tell me more about being framed in front of the teacher?
Basically, she pushed me, but then she'd pretend to fall or something like that. Or she'd act like as though when I was getting up, I pushed her and stuff. And then when the teacher came, she'd be like, oh my God, she pushed me. Please punish her.
And what did the teachers do?
Basically, the teachers punished me.
How did that make you feel?
Well, that made me feel very frustrated because it was like the teachers weren't understanding me and were just believing her.
How about the rumors? Tell us more about that.
I actually have no idea what was being said about me, but I know stuff were being definitely said about me because in later years, people would start avoiding me and stuff.
According to the Malaysia Crime Prevention Foundation, bullying affects 84% of children under 18 in some way or form. But what constitutes an experience of bullying? Does it have to be an extreme incident, like a school student being beaten and assaulted into insensibility? What about the more insidious types of behaviour, such as a girl being excluded from groups in school because she's perceived to be different, or a boy who's the subject of rumours and gossip on social media or on chats? According to UNICEF, bullying is a pattern of behaviour rather than an isolated incident. Bullying usually has these three characteristics: intent, repetition, and power. A bully intends to cause pain either through physical harm or hurtful words or behaviours, and does so repeatedly. And children who bully usually have more power of some sort, such as children who are bigger, stronger, or who are perceived to be popular. But first, a little bit more about Gabriel. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, so about myself, I love to draw, I like to listen to music, and I, of course, like to write. I love drawing because I love seeing my characters and ideas come alive on paper, and I love listening to music that energizes me and gets me in a good mood. I love writing as I've always had a passion for telling stories, and I especially love showing them to other people to see how they like my stories and characters. I like telling stories about emotions and real experiences that other people go through. My family, well, were a rather small one, with just my mom, my dad, and me. Though my family had divorced in 2016, we're still a rather calm and loving family. I love the ability that I can relate to others and that I can create stuff that other people can enjoy that I also like creating.
Is there anything you dislike about yourself, you think?
Well, I procrastinate a lot. And on top of that, sometimes I can move a little bit too fast. By that, I mean I'm so busy doing like work and school stuff that I completely forget to like appreciate the day. And it just kind of blurs together.
Gabriel is so chatty and friendly that you might think, how can someone like that be bullied? But then again, nobody is immune to being bullied, not even if you're a celebrity and star of one of the most popular TV series worldwide.
At school, I was bullied by a group of students. I remember feeling helpless. You know, school used to be a safe place, and now I was scared to go. I didn't know who I could trust or who I could turn to. Like millions of other girls around the world, I've also been bullied and harassed online. It's a terrifying feeling to look at your phone and see that messages that people are sending you are filled with anger, hate, and even threats. Bullying and online threats are never harmless, never just words. It puts children's mental health at risk. It causes stress, and in the most extreme cases and in areas around the world where conflict and violence are daily threats, it can lead to self-harm, sickness, and even suicide.
That was Stranger Things actress and UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador Millie Bobby Brown. She was speaking at the United Nations for World Children's Day back in 2019. The most vulnerable children face a higher risk of being bullied. These are often children from communities that are marginalized, from poor families, children with different gender identities, children with disabilities, or migrant and refugee children. Gabrielle had an ear condition in her very early years, which affected her hearing and speech and led to her being just a little different from other kids.
Actually, my ear condition was already gone and dealt with by the time I went to first grade because, you know, I was 5 and the ear condition lasted until I was 4. So there was like a cyst growing in my ear, which basically was growing on my eardrum. So little to no auditory input because it was blocking it. It was sitting around my eardrum. I couldn't speak because of the lack of auditory input. And basically my brain had no information to talk or speak or anything. I did go to speech therapy and then ended up having surgery to get rid of my cysts. I was rather awkward for like 1 to 2 years after I got over the whole speech thing, because I had like no sense of how conversations were, so I had to like learn it all from scratch because I had no auditory input for like the first 4 years of my life, barely any. Basically, I would like talk over people. I'd talk too loudly or too softly. I'd also like not know how to introduce myself. Like I'd introduce myself with some random fact rather than like actually about myself.
What do you think people thought about you if they didn't know you had a hearing impairment earlier?
They probably thought I was like very out of place and very, you know, awkward and weird and annoying.
Did anyone ever actually come out and say that to you?
Well, the bully did. And a few of the boys did. They basically were like, oh my gosh, Gabs, you're so annoying. I wish you're out of school.
Gabriel's mother, Geraldine, recalls how her daughter struggled to fit in.
I think initially it was really difficult because for a child to... First, you have the issue about trying to assimilate, correct? And the assimilation process already took a while because for a child who has not really assimilated with other children because of the challenges, that is already an issue on its own. Compounded with the bullying and the ability to stand up for herself, that was another issue on its own as well. And for her, at someone at the age of, okay, even if you put the range between 5 to 7 or 8, it's still a lot to process. Yeah? And one of the challenges also based on her ear condition was her ability to assimilate not only with people, but the environment as well. For example, like she did mention about having to modulate her voice, all right, between speaking too loud or too soft that no one hears you. So even a simple thing like that, when in a group of friends and suddenly she talks, but because that modulation is not there, you tend to speak a little louder and people find that intimidating, especially children, right? So that is an example. Another example would be then to say the kind of things which, when you are meant to show understanding and compassion, but because she's not assimilated in that way, then she comes across as being brash. She comes across as being uncaring. So things that maybe for you, me, or a normal, more normalized child would seem like it's like, well, you just process through it very seamlessly, right? For her, every little bit was overwhelming.
Gabriel started to dread going to school because she was afraid of what the bully would have in store for her. And this is something that may be a red flag for parents. If their children are consistently avoiding school or finding reasons to skip school, then something isn't quite right there.
I didn't want to go to school. Not all the time, but when the bully was at its peak at like year one, year two, it was definitely all the time there. One really supportive thing though was just my friend who just stuck by me all those years.
She was trying to normalize in a lot of ways. Yeah, from trying to be a child, going to school, wanting to be liked, wanting to be accepted. And I think as parents, I mean, you're a parent as well, right? So the last thing we want as parents is to see our child hurt. And the worst thing is that not being able to do something about it, correct? So I guess in a lot of ways, it's difficult for both Gabby, ourselves as parents as well, because how do you then tackle this? And this is, you're talking about a child who's like 5 over years old. And, you know, this is the time where you expect them or want them to be happy, to be enjoying themselves, to be assimilating into, you know, their childhood as well.
How long did this go on for?
From year one to year four, mid-year four.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Except actually in year three, it kind of died down because I made friends with another person. Well, that made me form like a little group, which made me feel like I was more connected with the class versus if I was just friends with one person. Also, they were very, very supportive and they were quite fun to talk to as well and allowed me to have more people to play games and stuff with.
After the break, Gabriel opens up about how the bullying made her feel and where she sought support from. This is Because Feelings Matter, a show where we hear from people about their personal mental health stories. Stay tuned to Health and Living BFM 89.9.
I felt very disheartened because it was like as though no matter what I did or how I behaved, I was always not going to be really liked by a lot of people just because of something I can't control. I felt anxious, I felt distressed, I felt excluded, and I also felt insecure. Then I also felt rejected by my peers.
Hello there, you're listening to Health and Living, and this is Because Feelings Matter. That's Gabriel Maria Fernandez, a 13-year-old teenage girl who's been sharing her experience of being bullied in primary school. I had asked Gabriel to put into words how the bullying made her feel. She didn't elaborate any further, but anyone can see how lonely and isolated a young person would feel when you're deliberately being attacked or excluded by your peers. Teachers and parents play a huge role in preventing and addressing bullying. A lot comes down to how they respond to the situation.
Actually, after grade one, the teachers were quite a lot better at handling this. Like, they'd send, like, my bully to detention and they'd send the bully to detention. I wasn't actually, like, punished or anything. But, of course, detention really didn't help, but at least they were trying.
Was there anything else they helped you out with?
Well, they helped me basically, like, make sure I wasn't, like, you know, pushed around by the bully. And they'd give me encouragement. They'd be like, oh, keep your head up. Or oh, you're so strong. You don't let the bully get to you.
What about your parents?
They consoled me and comforted me. I didn't really want them to superly step in because I didn't want as much drama, but I wanted it to be over as fast as possible.
I think one of the key things is that listening to her. Because initially, of course, when a child faces something like that, right, the last thing they want is to tell a parent. Because in the child's mind, you want your parent to think positively of you, correct? And I think she was very mindful about this aspect from the start. But when we found out about it, we knew that what she actually really wanted was to be safe, to felt like, you know, we were on her side. And hence that whole listening thing came in where we gave her a channel to speak. Children open up when they open up. There's no time frame. And there's no, you know, you can't probe and you scare the child more, right? So yes, time, listening, and listening to understand, not listening to ask more questions, listening to respond in some way. And I think that is one element which, I mean, I also have friends who go through similar situations. And sometimes we as parents, we forget that there is no clock. There's no ticking clock to say they have to tell you within the certain time frame, or they have to say what you want them to say. And I think that is something that sometimes we as parents, we forget. And that is what they want, most importantly. And also to be able to speak freely without having to feel that they are judged in a way. And that, you know, at the end of telling their story, they still have a safe place.
What is it like when children feel that they're being judged?
I suppose typical parents. Why didn't you do better? Why didn't you make friends? Why did you talk so loud? Why did you, you know, not try harder? That kind of thing. Because parents, I mean, there's a lot of pressure among kids whereby the parents are always wanting them to be better. And sometimes it's not what the kid wants, but what the parent wants, right? And yeah, that's why sometimes, I mean, it's sad to see that children today that they fall so short in terms of expectations, and they feel that they have to be within in a certain mold in order to be accepted, not only by peers but parents themselves.
I asked Gabriel if things are better for her now.
Ah, definitely, because I have a lot of friends. I do like art, I write, and I also do great in my studies, and I like going to school now.
It took a lot of encouragement for her herself, as she told you as well. She needed to affirm herself many times, you know, to ensure that she's safe. Yeah. And yes, the process took a long time, but in the end, I mean, she managed to overcome these challenges bit by bit, not only from our help as parents, but teachers did play a role. She had very good friends, especially from year three onwards, which had also helped in that healing process and the assimilation process into schooling life in general. So that really did help a lot. And in the years that, you know, we've seen her go through it, she has also developed that kind of resiliency, the kind of confidence, and that kind of that compassion. Because after you've gone through something like that, right, you're never the same.
When I ask Gabriel what has been positive about this whole experience, she surprises me.
Actually, I learned to be very tolerant of people. Like me and the person who bullied me, we're okay with each other now, actually. We're like, we're not enemies or anything like that still.
Did you hate her?
I didn't hate her, actually. I just didn't like the way she was treating me.
That's empathy and compassion, trumping the need to hold a grudge.
For example, if she sees someone going through the similar situation, bullying, for example, right? There is that innate compassion in her to want to help. Maybe not help in the sense that it will rectify the situation, but help as in from a listening standpoint. Because she did say as well, I mean, in many times that when she sees someone go through something similar, most of the time, these children are misunderstood or they don't get a platform for their voice to be heard. And so she steps in to be that kind of, that play that support role. And because she understands and has been in that situation, right, that compassion comes through. I can only use this one word, which is resilience, because, I mean, as hard as it was, it has built her into, I mean, there's this innate resilience in her. And this carries forward not only for her previous situations, but future situations like that, if she experiences them again. And also when it comes to her day-to-day, her hobbies, what she wants to achieve. I mean, she's pretty much set in the sense that she knows what she wants and she knows how to work towards it. And she's very resilient in that sense that, okay, there's no mountain too high or there's no, you know, barriers that's really big enough to stop her. So I see that translating into other areas of her life now.
It's been shown over and over again that children who are bullied are more likely to experience interpersonal difficulties, to be depressed, lonely or anxious, to have low self-esteem and to suffer academically. With so much emphasis on youth mental health today, one hopes that the psychological and social harm of bullying takes center stage in the discussion. But when I ask Gabriel what she thinks, she's a little more realistic about how mental health of young people is being addressed. Is there enough emphasis on mental health among young people?
To an extent, yes. Like, there's obviously school counsellors and there's all those, then my school especially, there's like posters and stuff like, take care of your mental health and stuff. But I still feel like it's a very misunderstood thing because mental health is still seen as like an adult problem.
So how do adults perceive the mental health struggles of young people?
Well, firstly, their problems would probably be like dismissed because it's like, oh, you're not an adult yet. What more do you know? And it's very dismissive of an entire group of people who might be struggling mentally.
What is good mental health to you?
Well, firstly, a good sense of self-worth, for sure. A decent amount of confidence and self-esteem, like at least like moderately high. Like maybe a hobby or two so you have a reason to like keep living on and you're not like going through the motions with nothing much to do. Firstly, they need to know like their, not really their purpose, but like what they're good at. Like for example, I'm good at art and I'm good at creating stuff. And then, so that's like what I do, and I'm also good at other stuff. So they need to know what they're good at first. Then they probably would need their support group to like affirm them and make them feel like they have a place in the world. Feeling like you're not worth it is a terrible feeling. So basically, I made sure to like reassure myself that I was actually like worth it and start doing stuff I was good at so that I had more of a sense of worth.
What Gabriel is good at is writing, something she's always enjoyed and works hard to improve. In 2021, Gabriel joined a junior writing program and had her story published in a compilation titled Trouble Started. Gabriel has been writing stories for several years now, but her earlier work was, in her words, cliched. Simpler narratives of a young person being bullied, feeling depressed, and then eventually finding friendship. This story, The Me You Don't See, was her reflection of teenage mental health and how depression can affect a person.
This one's different because, firstly, it follows more of a character's internal struggle versus a tight plot line. And because it's just one, I feel like it shows Amira's thoughts and how she felt and how everything around her was affecting her versus how she was affected. Versus how, you know, the environment was, you know, shaping her. Like, she is already feeling bad, but the environment is just adding to it. Amira is a girl who's going through depression and her own demons. The story follows as Amira's thoughts as she reminisces on her own life, old life, see how her life is like, and she's basically like going in a spiral, but eventually she gets help and she gets therapy and a counselor. I want people to have a message of hope, like, oh, even if you are not feeling the greatest right now, even if you're on a spiral, you can still get better. There's still hope, and, you know, you don't have to feel hopeless.
And that message has been echoed by Millie Bobby Brown.
Somewhere in the world right now, a teenage girl is being bullied online. She's scared, she's vulnerable, she feels alone. My message to her is this: you are not alone. There are people who care about you, and there are people who will listen if you reach out for help. You have rights.
I believe my story is one of hope and also overcoming, you know, bullying and challenges and stuff like that. So I think it's quite inspiring despite its quite negative start.
If anything, Gabriel's personal story has been just as inspiring, that of a young person who's gone through a difficult experience but had the support to deal with it so that the impact on her mental health would be one of resilience and growth. This is Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. If you missed any part of the show, or if you'd like to listen to previous podcasts, you can search for it on bfm.my or on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.